From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Senate Democrats forced a marathon session on Capitol Hill Tuesday evening. Republicans have refused to allow a vote on the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq, so Democrats hope to force the issue with a late-night debate. Their critics say the whole event was just bad theater. For more, we've got Mary Frances Berry, a professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania, and Ron Christie, vice president of the lobbying firm DC Navigators, also a former special assistant to President George W. Bush. Mary, I'm going to jump right in with you. So what exactly happened last night?
Well, the Democrats had what I thought was some pretty good theater, which replicated what happened in 2003 when the Republicans had an all-nighter to try to end a filibuster on judicial appointments, which they didn't end either. Same trapping, same everything, same complaints about is it theater. And I think they achieved their objective. Of course, they didn't get a positive vote to end the filibuster. But what they were trying to do was to show the anti-war voters why the Democrats have not been able to stop the war, because many of them were confused. The Democrats are down in the polls, Democrats in Congress, down in the polls, and they've been blamed and attacked for not ending this war by people who voted for them in 2006. So I think they achieved the educational objective of trying to show people why, even though the House voted to do it, the Senate was not able to get a vote.
So you say that in a way this is about the Democrats trying to show their voters, look, we're trying our best here. Is there any chance that the Republicans are going to take a hit for this? Or do you think it's going to be, if anything, maybe a show of strength for Republican voters from their representatives?
Well, some Republicans did join the Democrats on the final vote, although not enough. And many Republicans who have spoken out in recent days against the war still didn't vote here. They've been at home making speeches about how they're against everything. But I think on the last time it happened in 2003, it was part of the impetus to help defeat Tom Daschle when he was majority leader, when he was leader of the Democrats. It helped to defeat him in South Dakota. I know that there is a push to try to attack Mitch McConnell in Kentucky. And maybe some of the people who saw it and see that no vote can be taken may oppose some of the Republican candidates. And it might move the discussion along. The part of this was trying to move the ball forward incrementally someplace to get a change in policy.
Well, you know, Mary, I just want to ask you a little bit about the theater aspect of this. What happened to the good old days when Jimmy Stewart had to stand up all by himself? I understand the senators brought in cots, snacks. Who knows, maybe they even had foot massages.
Well, I think that it would have been great if people had stood up there, like Jimmy Stewart, and talked for hours and hours and read things from the Bible. And I've seen some filibusters in the early years like that. But this is a more genteel, civilized kind of theater, which is not as hard on the senators. And it's not as hard either, I guess, on the viewers who are committed, who sit there to watch. And sleeping on the cots, I guess, if anybody slept on them, helped. So it was theater, but it was not as gripping as Jimmy Stewart.
Well, I want to bring in Ron. So we've been talking about both the theatrical aspects of this and also the political aspects of this. Do you think that the Republicans made a point, or do you think the Republicans took a hit in this one?
Well, I think they made a point. The point being here, Farai, is that for whatever reason, there are a number of people in the United States Senate on the other side of the political aisle who are trying to exert their will to bring the troops home before General Petraeus is coming out with his report in September and before the troops have had the opportunity to complete their mission. And I think what the Republicans tried to do and were successful in bringing to the forefront of the political attention span of the country is the fact that there are people who seem more interested in using theatrics and more interested in using the political process than being deliberative and being that lovely body where we saw Jimmy Stewart making a stand, one honest man, one candid individual coming to Washington. So I think we've seen more theatrics than we've seen anything else for the last 24 hours here.
What's the Republican strategy, though? I mean, the Democrats are, it seems at least, trying to show, look, we're doing what we can to stop this war. What is the Republican strategy? And can you even talk about a Republican strategy when you have some members kind of going off in a separate direction and saying, well, we don't really want this to continue either?
I'm hesitant to say that there is an overarching Republican strategy when you have senators like Senator George Voinovich from Ohio and a number of other individuals who are against what is going on in Iraq. But for the majority caucus, a majority of the Republicans, I would say Farai, they want to find a path to bring political stability in Iraq so that our men and women in uniform can come home victorious. And what many of these Republicans are trying to demonstrate is, what is the Democrat strategy other than pull the troops out or bring the troops home without hearing what the Democrats define success for being in Iraq and how Democrats would define leaving this objective behind in a victorious manner? And I think that's what a lot of the rancor is the Republicans say, we don't know what you're for. All we know is that you're against the troops in Iraq.
All right. Want to switch to a related but separate topic. Hillary Clinton just announced that former Ambassador Joseph Wilson is backing her bid for the White House. He's the husband of the outed CIA agent Valerie Plame. He criticized the president's pre-war claim that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction. Mary, what is the senator's strategy here? Why is she seeking or pronouncing this endorsement?
Why is she accepting the endorsement and announcing that it's great? It's because it helps with the anti-war people in the party. It helps during the primary season. The anti-war group is very large during the primary season, and it gives her some cover for the people who argue that she wasn't strongly against the war, even though everybody else was not strongly against it to begin with. And so that this is great for her because it turns out, of course, that Wilson was right. There weren't any weapons. And we all know there were no weapons. I guess we almost all know that there were no weapons of mass destruction now. So it helps her with that particular group, and it helps us during the primary season. And that's where we are right now.
Ron, is there any way that this could backfire on her? Mary made the point that this is the primary season. But in the general election, should Hillary Clinton, Senator Hillary Clinton, go to the general election, she has high negatives among a lot of Republican voters. Could this backfire in any way?
I think it could. I think the good professor's analysis was correct. I think that Senator Clinton is trying to appeal to the far left element of the base that is tired of the war in Iraq. And Ambassador Wilson is viewed as a hero in many of these circles, and she's trying to sew up the nomination for the Democratic Party. But if she's successful in this, I think looking for the general forward to the general election against whomever the Republicans decide to ultimately nominate, having the endorsement of Joseph Wilson, who has been a very polarizing figure to many Republicans and someone who even the Senate Intelligence Committee said that his testimony was less than forthcoming and accurate, I think that he might serve as a lightning rod for Republicans to fundraise and to use and say that the Democrats and Senator Clinton in particular are using Iraq for political gains rather than going over there to achieve the objective of securing the peace.
I think by the time, Farai, we get to the general election, if we ever get there, there will be so many lightning rods out there that Joe Wilson would be sort of a minor sort of stick, not even a rod, in the whole context of what's going on. And right now, the fight is over who's going to win in the primary, and that's where we are.
Well, Mary, on that note, we have the O&O show. We're talking Oprah and Obama.
Right.
Winfrey announced that in September, she's going to host a bash for Obama at her enormous California mansion. Attendees have to give the maximum amount that an individual can give in a primary. That's $2,300. If you want to hang around for a VIP reception, you have to raise at least $25,000 from other friends. Is this a huge boost for Obama, Mary, and then Ron?
Here's what I think. I think that Obama can raise piles of money. Oprah is already supporting him. We all knew that, I think. And this is what she should do since she's supporting him, raise some money. The problem for Obama is not the money. The problem for him is the votes and the polls. And right now, even the local polls, I don't just mean the national polls, the Iowa poll, for example, shows that she is now ahead of Edwards and some of them, primarily because of the women who vote for her, want to vote for her. And she's way ahead of Obama in the early states. So South Carolina is the one where he's most competitive. So the real big question and what the turning point's going to be for Obama is the day when the polls start to move in the direction of the money. But this has, like anything that Oprah does, it has all the glitter and all the hype and everything else, but it's exactly what she should be doing for her candidate and what she can do best.
Ron, what do you think about that whole point, that a vote does not equal a dollar?
Well, I think that's true, but what Mary has said is right. This is a goldmine for Senator Obama. Senator Obama will be able to generate the funds necessary to be competitive in these early primary and caucus states. And I think Oprah Winfrey has just generated an enormous groundswell, white, black, rich, poor, across this country, and an endorsement from her will go a long ways. And Senator Obama will then have the tools and the money necessary to employ tactics such as getting on the airwaves and radio and television and printing up very fancy and very colorful brochures to leave behind. This is a great boon, a great feather in his cap, and he will be competitive. And if I were Senator Clinton, I'd be looking in that rearview mirror because he's coming.
Mary, very quickly, what do you think could help Barack Obama try to reach out to some of these states where there's not many black voters and apparently not a lot of supporters?
Well, he has to talk more about the issues. I was out in Iowa when he was out there speaking at the health sciences department, and he had a lot of people who came to hear him speak, and he gave the general themes that he always gives, but he never talked about anything specific. And our voters are very cerebral folk. They sit around and think about who could win and what are they saying, and all the chat up afterwards was, well, he was nice and he's great, but and his themes that he brings together, What did he say about healthcare?
That's something we've heard a lot of. Right. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there. Mary Frances Berry and Ron Christie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Farai. Mm-hmm.
Mary Frances Berry is a professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania. Ron Christie, vice president of the lobbying firm DC Navigators and former special assistant to President George W. Bush. Both were at NPR's Washington headquarters.